Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
In Louisiana, a man with guns, knives, and bear spray is arrested after threatening a school bus driver in front of students. In Florida, three people are arrested after an attack on a New Jersey woman involving acid. And a Georgia man is arrested in Louisiana after killing his wife and burning her body. These stories and more coming at you today, Wednesday, August 28th, on Real Life Real Crime Daily, and I'm Jim Chapman. Solo again today. Woody is visiting his brand new granddaughter, but I'm going to keep you entertained, and we're going to start off in Baton Rouge. And the Baton Rouge police have arrested a man accused of carrying multiple weapons and threatening a school bus driver in front of students in the Melrose Place neighborhood. Dwayne Landry was outfitted with body armor with three rifle magazines, a small revolver in his front waistband, another firearm strapped to his thigh with the hammer cocked back, a knife, a machete-style blade, a can of bear spray, and flex cuffs. Investigators say on two mornings, August 19th and the 20th, Landry was harassing a bus driver and parents dropping off their kids at the bus. The bus driver also reportedly told police Landry threatened to shoot her and tried to board the bus. The bus driver closed the bus door to prevent Landry from getting on. An officer called out to the scene said he talked with Landry, who claimed to be the Melrose Crime Commissioner for the subdivision, and was commissioned, get this, by the governor. According to the arrest report, Landry also claimed he only asked the bus driver to not block the intersection. Several parents and students on the bus told investigators they witnessed Landry threatening to shoot the school bus driver. Landry is a resident of that Melrose Place subdivision, and according to neighbors, they say he's a familiar and controversial figure. David West, the Melrose Civic Association director, says Landry has no association with the neighborhood group and is not in charge of or involved in any kind of safety or security measures. As a neighborhood leader, we are very concerned about the safety of our neighborhood. We are safe, we are quiet, and this kind of rocked us. We had no clue this was coming. West also added he had been in touch with parents in the neighborhood trying to reassure them of their safety. And of course, Landry is facing several charges, including aggravated assault with a firearm, intimidation and interference, unlawful disruption of the operation of a school, and wearing or possessing body armor on school property. What a freaking nut job this guy is. Not sure really what's going on when you want to attack a bus driver, or at least threaten the bus driver with all of this body armor, all of these guns. Man, I'm going to tell you what, some of them parents, you better watch out. Because if that was my kids, ooh, I don't want to say what would happen, but it wouldn't be good. I can tell you that. Now let's go to Florida. And three Florida residents have been arrested after they were hired for an acid attack on a woman in New Jersey last month. Police responded to a home where a 42-year-old woman was attacked upon arriving at her home from work. And this occurred on July 26th. As the victim opened her car door, she was approached by an unknown female who threw a cup and its liquid contents directly on the victim. The female assailant then fled the scene. The victim was airlifted to a burn center where she is still being treated for chemical burns over 35% of her body. And this is a month later, y'all. The liquid used in the attack is believed to be a highly caustic acid. Following an extensive investigation, police say they were able to trace the getaway vehicle to two suspects who they identified as 38-year-old Betty Jo Lane and 39-year-old Jamar McNeil, both of Jacksonville, Florida. Lane and McNeil were hired to carry out the attack by 49-year-old William DeBernardino of Florida. The victim had a prior relationship with him. All three suspects were taken into custody in Florida, and Lane and McNeil were extradited to New Jersey on Tuesday. They have each been charged with conspiracy to commit first-degree murder, first-degree attempted murder, aggravated assault, and unlawful possession of a weapon, and stalking. So there you have it. They are now using acid to attack people with these murders for hire. And we've covered a ton of those this past year. One of the worst things I can imagine, between drowning and getting acid thrown on you, I don't know which would be a worse way to die. We're going to go back to Louisiana by way of Georgia, and officials have arrested a 39-year-old man at a Louisiana motel after he killed his wife and buried her remains in a shallow grave behind the couple's Georgia home. The Fayette County Sheriff's Office received reports of a couple arguing in the early morning hours of August 20th. The following day, Kenneth Harden Jr. told relatives he had killed his wife in self-defense, lit her remains on fire, and planned to flee town. Fayette County Sheriff Barry Babb said Kenneth Harden's father initially reported that homicide. Harden handed over his bank accounts and other financial responsibilities to his dad because he was going to be on the run. Deputies responded to Harden's home where they found evidence corroborating the father's claim. The sheriff said authorities immediately noticed that there had been somebody with some blood loss and that somebody had attempted to clean the crime scene. According to the sheriff's office, detectives located Kenneth Harden's vehicle in Covington, Louisiana, and worked with local law enforcement agencies to apprehend him. The St. Tammany Parish Sheriff's Office SWAT team members and patrol deputies responded to a motel, and Kenneth Harden exited one of the rooms. Authorities took him into custody, and he was booked into the St. Tammany Parish Correctional Center as a fugitive and awaits his extradition back to Florida. Around the same time, the sheriff's office said detectives discovered a shallow grave in a wooded area behind a home. Investigators located the partially burned remains of Kenneth Harden's wife, Carrie Harden, underneath debris and reportedly found evidence of gunshot wounds. According to Sheriff Babb, the victim leaves behind two children who are in care of family members. So there you have it. Glad they caught this asshole on the run, caught him right here in Louisiana from Georgia. And, you know, this is one of those emotional killings where, you know, it seems like when it's someone you know and someone you really care about, you overkill almost. I mean, this guy's burning her body probably in an effort to remove any DNA, and just absolutely awful. And then he's going to tell his family that he killed her in self-defense. Come on. You kill her in self-defense and then you run. You kill somebody in self-defense, you're legal. You ain't got to worry about running. Wow. All right, and I'm going to bring you a story, and this is a little different, but it absolutely blew my mind. And I'm like, you know, technically, is this a crime? Maybe not. But it sure as hell is interesting because I couldn't imagine anything worse than what I'm about to read you. So NASA officials announced on Saturday that a Boeing Starliner spacecraft that shuttled two astronauts to space in June will return to Earth without them. That's right. They're stranded in space. Astronauts Butch Wilmore and Sonny Williams have been stuck in space after engineers discovered helium leaks and issues involving thrusters shortly after the Starliner docked with the International Space Station. This prompted NASA and Boeing to investigate. The uncrewed return allows NASA and Boeing to continue gathering testing data on Starliner during its upcoming flight back to Earth, while also not accepting any more risks than necessary for its crew. The decision to keep Butch and Sonny aboard the International Space Station and bring Boeing Starliner home uncrewed is the result of our commitment to safety and core values. This from NASA Administrator Bill Nelson. I'm grateful to both the NASA and Boeing teams for their incredible and detailed work. The pair originally blasted off from Florida's Cape Canaveral on June 5th. This was a test flight mission, and it was only supposed to last a week, y'all. They will now return with SpaceX Crew 9 Dragon mission, which will not launch before September 24th, because that mission needs to reduce its crew of 4 to 2 people so that it can bring the 2 people back that are already stranded in space. And get this, that crew is not expected to return until February of 2025. The Crew 9 mission will carry additional cargo, as well as spacesuits for Wilmore and Williams, as their spacesuits are incompatible with the SpaceX spacecraft. Since the problems were identified, engineering teams have been poring over data as well as developing various return contingency plans. The uncertainty and lack of expert agreement about being able to return the crew safely prompted the leadership to move the astronauts to another mission. Could you freaking imagine? You're supposed to be in space a week. Now you got to wait till February of 2025. And SpaceX has to figure out a way to get you back home with just 2 crew members going up when they train with 4. I mean, it's a mess. But I couldn't believe when I saw that. No one's talking about this on the news, at least that I've seen. So absolutely crazy. And I say it's a crime because it's a crime that they got stranded. So there you have it. All right, we're going to move to California. And a 40-year-old woman was arrested this week for claiming she was a Russian police officer while attempting to kidnap a young girl who was helping out a neighbor. Wednesday, August 21st at 2:30 p.m., officers received an initial call from someone who said there was a suspicious person in the alley who tried running away with an 8-year-old girl. A second person called police and said the suspect ran toward a grocery store parking lot. Officers responded to Gleason's Market lot and found Courtney Perrone standing next to a vehicle. A witness reportedly identified Perrone as the attempted kidnapper. Police said the girl was assisting her neighbor with putting pets in her car when Perrone approached them, saying she was a Russian police officer and that she was taking the child. Perrone wrapped her arms around the girl, which caused a tug of war between the neighbor and Perrone. The neighbor freed the girl and put her in the front seat of the car, but Perrone tried to open the door. Perrone reportedly pulled out a switchblade and then fled. Perrone was homeless and living out of her car. There are reportedly several warrants for arrest in other states. She is on probation currently for a conviction of assault with a deadly weapon in Nevada. So this woman was no one to play with. The LAPD arrested her recently for assault with a deadly weapon, but she was released only because of insufficient evidence. She was arrested on charges of attempted kidnapping and false imprisonment, both felonies in this case, as well as brandishing, which is a misdemeanor. Another thing we've covered in detail, a lot of attempted kidnappings, and it seems like a lot of them by homeless people. And I can tell you, this lady, had she been able to kidnap this young girl, would have sold her to a human trafficker. Those human traffickers, if you're not aware, they befriend the homeless population in areas, and they tell them, hey, you bring us a young girl or a young boy or whatever, and we're going to pay you for that. You know, we'll give you $100 or something. And some of these people, some of these homeless people are so mentally freaking unstable that they'll do anything. Thank God the neighbor fought that off in this case.
Do you want to set your child up for success? Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with a subject?
IXL now.
Is your child ahead,
real life,
not getting challenged enough in class?
Get an exclusive
IXL Learning is an online learning program that enriches your homeschool curriculum. It offers practice in math, English,
today.
Language arts,
visit
science, and social studies while adopting
today
to each child,
to get the most
meeting them where they are.
Program
plus,
out there
IXL
at the best
encourages
price.
Students to be curious and empowers them how to choose to learn. Now, Cindy used IXL in the classroom as a teacher and now uses it to homeschool our youngest son in the ninth grade. The videos are what she finds that benefits him most in math because he's a very visual learner. The perfect supplement to your homeschool curriculum, IXL offers interactive practice problems, educational game lessons, and video tutorials for every topic you're teaching at home. It's easy to use, time-saving, and everything on IXL is organized by grade, subject, topic, and subtopic, making it simple to find activities for the exact skills you're covering. Instant grading, helpful progress reporting. IXL offers instant feedback and explanations of new topics as kids use the program. Flexible and personalized. Kids can explore any topic in any grade level. They aren't forced into a single learning path like they are on other programs. If you're homeschooling your child because they were falling behind or because they were too far ahead, IXL is a great program to help them get the exact support they need. It's fun for kids, and kids love IXL's positive feedback, awards, and educational games. And it's trustworthy. IXL is trusted by 15 million students worldwide and has proven to improve performance in over 75 scientific research studies. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And Real Life Real Crime listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/today. Visit IXL.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
Oh, yeah. It's my second day in a row of being unsupervised with some kinky crimes. And that's always a, well, that could be a bad thing. It just depends. But we're going to go to Key West. And look, I know a lot of people. I've never been to Key West personally, but I know a lot of people that have been to Key West and always have a good time, but none of them saw this. So get ready, because a 35-year-old woman is behind bars after police spotted her vigorously, and that's how it's written in the report, vigorously pleasuring herself in public. In response to an eyewitness report, officers were dispatched to a local park in Key West in reference of a male that was passed out with his pants down. So they arrive at this park. It's called Bayview Park. It was 6:30 a.m. this past Tuesday, and officers realize that the subject lying on the ground behind a statue of a Cuban independence leader was actually a woman. A member of the public flagged down cops to report that they witnessed the woman with her pants down, stimulating her genitalia. A similar sighting was reported by Officer Frank Betts, who told a fellow cop that he watched the suspect, quote unquote, vigorously stimulating herself. The report did not indicate how long the officer observed the solo crime being committed, and police identified the woman as Teresa Dunleavy, an Oklahoma native who has an address, and it's listed as the streets of Key West in the incident report. When the cop approached her, she was pulling her pants up, and she said she had no idea why police would be called to the park, which is in the center of Key West. Charged with indecent exposure, which is a misdemeanor, she was booked into the county jail, and she's being held on a $5,000 bond. And I don't care who you are. That's pretty kinky. And that is your kinky crime for Wednesday, hump day. People are getting vigorous out there. And that's right. It's a mile high crime. And this is a short but sweet one, and actually breaking as of 5 minutes ago. Two people were killed and a third seriously injured when a tire exploded as it was being removed from a Delta Airlines plane at Hartsfield-Jackson Atlanta International Airport. The explosion took place at the airport's maintenance area, killing a Delta employee and a contractor while leaving another airline worker badly injured. Delta expressed its condolences to the victims in a statement. The Delta family is heartbroken at the loss of two team members and the injury of another following an incident this morning at the Atlanta Technical Operations Maintenance Facility. We have extended our full support to the family members and colleagues during this incredibly difficult time. The Delta family is grateful for quick action of first responders and medical teams on site, and we are now working with local authorities and conducting a full investigation to determine what happened. The plane traveled from Las Vegas to Atlanta on Sunday night. It was not immediately clear what caused that explosion. Talk about a freak accident. And just so horrible for those families. These guys and gals are working hard. They got to change a tire on a plane and it explodes and kills two and seriously injures another. And that is your mile high crime for today. And we're going to go to New York, and police are investigating a suspected murder-suicide after a man fatally shot several relatives before taking his own life over a dispute regarding the family will. Officers with the Nassau County Police Department responded to a home on a report of shots fired shortly before noon on August 25th. Authorities found 59-year-old Joseph DeLuca deceased outside the resident with an apparent self-inflicted gunshot wound. Police located four other victims deceased inside the home, including Joseph DeLuca's siblings, which are 69-year-old Joanna Kearns, 64-year-old Frank DeLuca, and 64-year-old Tina Hammond, as well as his niece, 30-year-old Victoria Hammond. The suspect's mother, 95-year-old Teresa DeLuca, died on August 19th. The family was reportedly selling the home, and Joseph DeLuca believed he was going to be left out of the will. DeLuca had lived at the house his entire life. Nassau Police Department Detective Stephen Fitzpatrick said the perception of Joseph Jr. was that he was being cut out of the will and he was going to be displaced without anywhere to go. He had past mental issues, psychiatric issues, you think, and they were reported to us. Because of that perception, he decided that day to get a loaded Mossberg 12-gauge shotgun, approach them in the rear area of the house, and from the kitchen fired 12 shots, striking all four of them multiple times. Fitzpatrick said DeLuca was shouting indiscriminately about what happened, prompting a neighbor to call 911 before DeLuca shot himself. Fitzpatrick described DeLuca as kind of a hoarder and noted his home was pretty much packed with tools and stuff that involved auto mechanics because DeLuca worked in car repair. And Fitzpatrick also said it was probably one of the most horrific scenes he had ever seen. I got no doubt about that.
Fall's here, and so are incredible sales at Tanger Outlets. Find must-have handbags, footwear, and all the latest fall arrivals, all at unbeatable savings. Shop top brands like Nike Factory, Crocs, J. Crew Factory, Coach, Gap Factory, Old Navy Outlet, Under Armour, and even more brands you love. Save more every time you shop with deals up to 70% off. Tanger Outlets, always on trend, always on sale. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
And I got one more for you today in this abbreviated episode, but man, it's interesting. And it involves Melanie Curtin. And we've told you about her case before on this show. Woody has done a whole episode on Real Life, Real Crime original about Melanie Curtin. She was convicted in the Dennis Perkins case and actually got a life sentence. And then she was released on, some people would say, a technicality, but it was interesting because it was evidence that the jury probably needed to see. So Melanie Curtin will be retried after she was let out on those technicalities. This from prosecutors. Prosecutors will retry Melanie Curtin on first-degree aggravated rape and video voyeurism charges, the Louisiana Attorney General's office confirmed on Monday. In 2021, she was found guilty on those same charges and sentenced to life in prison. However, last year, her conviction was overturned. Curtin was accused of helping former high-ranking Livingston Parish Sheriff's Deputy Dennis Perkins sexually assault an unconscious woman in 2014 and record it. Her conviction was tossed last year when the First Circuit Court of Appeal ruled that certain evidence that a judge blocked during the trial could have helped Curtin in her defense. That included evidence of the alleged victim pretending to be asleep during other alleged sexual encounters with Perkins and a video of the alleged victim having oral sex with Perkins while another woman watched. The First Circuit Court also determined the jury should not have been shown videos of Curtin and Perkins engaging in consensual oral sex in a dressing room, something unrelated to the rape allegation. The court said the evidence potentially unfairly prejudiced the jury against her. In light of its unique facts, we conclude that justice will only be served if the defendant is granted a new trial where a new jury will have the benefit of seeing that evidence. It is the paramount objective of upholding the integrity of our judicial system that dictates this result. The Attorney General's office, which prosecuted the case, unsuccessfully appealed that to the Louisiana Supreme Court earlier this year. At the time, prosecutors said they would review the matter before making a decision on how they will proceed. Now, prosecutors have decided to retry Curtin on the same serious charges as before, and both sides are due in court in Livingston Parish on October 21st of 2024 to choose a date for the start of the new trial, which will likely be sometime next year. Curtin is currently out on bond and is allowed to live out of the state. Perkins is currently serving a 100-year prison sentence after pleading guilty to a slew of sex crimes, many involving himself and his former school teacher wife, Cynthia. Cynthia Perkins is serving a 41-year prison sentence. And let me say this. It actually surprised me that they were going to retry her under the same charges. And there is a lot of moving part, especially to the Melanie Curtin side of this case. And it surprised me. And I don't know if this is a ploy to get some sort of plea bargain out of her or what the deal is, but they're taking a heck of a risk. Time will tell. And that is what we have for you today. Of course, we want to thank all of you for listening, subscribing, supporting everything we do here. Please continue to share us wherever you can. Check out Real Life Real Crime Original with Woody Overton. Check out Bloody Angola, a podcast with Jim Chapman and Woody Overton, where we talk all about the United States' most notorious maximum security prison, Louisiana State Penitentiary at Angola. And I have a podcast that I do. It is called Exposed: Scandalous Files of the Elite, where I talk about the elite members of society and how they do a bunch of crazy shit. And I cover adjudicated cases primarily, but sometimes they're cases that are still going on. I just did a good one on Matthew Perry P. Diddy cases. I think I've done six of those and so far. And they all get good play. So go check that out if you're interested. Exposed: Scandalous Files of the Elite. And I know Woody's got a series that he's starting up in November that is absolutely fire. That's all I can say about it. I'll get in trouble if I say anything else, but you can look forward to that as well. And until next time, I'm Jim Chapman. For Woody Overton, we are your host of Real Life, Real Crime Daily. Peace.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.